The following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California.
The following views presented in this half hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California.
That was gross. I'm Katie Morgan.
And I'm Cameron Lalana.
And you're listening to Conspiracy Comrades
on 90.3 KDVS.
Serial killers have long attracted the public's morbid curiosity, especially those who have managed to elude the police and law enforcement officials for years or even decades. The tales of gruesome, horrific murder haunt many everyday people, with stories of gore, death, and bloodshed sticking in memories like few other things do. Their crimes paint a bloodstain across the history of the United States, reminding us all of that dark underbelly that we so often forget about. Today's person of interest ranks highly on that list of prominent killers, with his murders so puzzling and so frightening that the Northern California area remained terrified for years. To this day, the killings have no definitive solution, no definitive suspect, only 5 confirmed dead, and possibly up to 32 more to go along with them. Today, we're talking about the Zodiac Killer.
Welcome to everyone.
Hello, welcome to Conspiracy Comrades.
We are continuing the trend of covering really very light, fun, breezy topics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we are wont to do.
As we are wont to do. Practically all the time.
All the time. All we talk about is super fun things that are not sad at all.
I like how in the first half of our season, we were very much memes, aliens, Bigfoot, fun stuff. And now we're cults, serial killers,
murder,
assassinations,
death.
You know, it's fine. We're just approaching the school year. I'm sure there's no relation.
Oh. No, I think we just wanted to say, like, the fun things for last.
Oh. Yeah, I'd call that the fun things.
Well,
they're neat.
I think I've made this mistake in a former show. Perhaps not fun, but for me, the more interesting ones, perhaps.
That's very fair.
I have no problem saying that I am quite interested in, you know, serial killers and things. You know?
Yeah.
They're interesting in a horribly morbid way. I'll admit that, but...
Hey, I've marathoned all of Criminal Minds. I'm in no position to judge you.
Yeah, you're really not then, huh?
I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know if I could tell the story, but when I was younger, I used to watch Criminal Minds at 3 in the morning, leaning out my window while I pretended to smoke a cigarette.
Oh.
That was edgy. We're going to cut that one out. Anyway, go on.
We're leaving that in. We are absolutely leaving that in. Okay. So, as we so often do, I'll be giving you all the history of the Zodiac Killer, and in this case, because there are multiple suspects we could talk about, I'll give you just the story of what happened and how everything played out, minus a face. So I'll be giving you the information, what happened, what went on, minus anyone to pin it on. And then Cameron here is going to go and kind of see if we can find someone to...
pin the murders on.
Well, I mean, not in a scapegoat way, but, you know.
Fair enough. We did come to some conclusions. We've looked at the evidence.
We did sit down and watch the entirety of the 2007 movie Zodiac, which is almost 3 hours long.
Yeah, it was.
It was a really good movie, though.
It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did, too.
So,
yeah.
For anyone interested in the Zodiac murders, you can watch the 2007 David Fincher movie, Zodiac. Very comprehensive look of the Zodiac Killer from the view of Robert Gray Smith's book, Zodiac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
The Zodiac Killer.
Off our normal banter. So, like I said before, I will give everyone kind of the background of what happened. I am sticking to... Okay, that's a long story. So, in actually his last confirmed, yes, this is the Zodiac speaking, letter to the San Francisco Chronicle in 1974, at the very bottom, he has a markdown, Zodiac 37, SFPD 0. So... he's claiming to have killed 37 people. I'm only going to talk about the 5 murders that are confirmed by the Zodiac, just for posterity's sake. It's very interesting. You all can go look it up afterwards. We'll leave it in the show notes, as always. But I wanted to focus on the ones that are absolutely, yes, the Zodiac did these. Because otherwise, we only have a half-hour show. We'd be here for a very long time.
See, again, the 2007 movie, which is 2.5, almost 3 hours long.
Yes.
Covering only those 5 murders.
So I highly encourage you all to go and dig through our show notes after you're done listening, or now, they'll be up by the time you're listening to this anyway.
Yeah.
But go through and see for yourself all of the, there's a whole lot more really interesting, divine interesting. Sorry, there are a whole lot of, I'll use the word interesting because I can't think of another one, murders that could kind of be attributed to the Zodiac, but no one's quite sure.
Right.
You know.
Ones he references in letters, but doesn't give the same kind of proof that he does for the five confirmed killings.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so we will stick to the five in the, thinking about time.
Yeah.
We'll stick to the five. So.
The canonical Zodiac episode.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to start off in July 1969 in Vallejo, which if you all live in Davis, know is actually not that far away, which is kind of weirdly disconcerting. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do know why, but you
as
know.
I was going through and writing down all these locations, I was, you know, like, ah, like Berryessa, I've been there.
I've hiked there.
Wow, I could. That's a frightening thought.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting, especially for, you know, us Davis residents.
For us,
and
specifically
the
having hiked
us.
There repeatedly.
We have been like Berryessa a couple times, that's true. Yeah, but anyway, okay. So July 4th, 1969, in Vallejo, two people, so Darlene Farron and Michael Majeau, drive into the Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo. They're just hanging out. It's kind of a known, like, lover's lane kind of area. So they drive down there. They're just sitting in Darlene's car, kind of just, you know, it's 4th of July, just kind of, you know, spending time together. It's a summer night, whatever. So they're sitting there. A second car drives in behind them and then immediately drives away. So they're kind of like, okay, this is a little strange, you know, okay, whatever. And then 10 minutes later, the car comes back and they're like, oh, what's going on? Okay. So the driver gets out of the car, approaches on Majeau's side of the car, has a flashlight and a 9mm Luger. So we think that the whole point of this was to kind of make them think that it was a cop.
Hmm.
So they can't really see him or anything like that. He shines the flashlight directly into their faces. And then, so he then shoots them five times. Both of them are hit. A couple of them pass through Michael into Darlene.
And Michael is shot in the head, shot in the jaw.
Yeah, he shot in the jaw, which seems like a terrible place to get shot.
Awful.
Right. So he just, like, walks away, and then he hears Michael just, like, moaning on the ground, and he comes back and shot both of them twice more before leaving, which seems like overkill to me.
It does.
Personally. Actually, the next day, really early in the morning, someone called the Vallejo Police Department. He reports the attack. He's like, hey, it was me who did it. They trace the call to a phone booth. No one's there. You know, he's long gone. So after this, obviously they find the two of them. They take them to the hospital. Darlene is pronounced dead when they get to the hospital. Michael actually survives, which is quite impressive. Like we said, we think it's overkill. Dude still survived. Mad props to him.
Yeah. And
that's a horribly inappropriate thing to say, but good for him.
Well, that's fine. I was going to go and say you can stick it to anyone who says the Zodiac Killer was an expert marksman, because I don't know how you don't kill someone by shooting them six times from point blank range.
Yeah, you know, it's okay.
That's for the best.
Yes, but so Michael survives despite being shot in the face, the neck, and the chest, which are all pretty bad places to get shot, I would say, objectively speaking. So after that, they obviously talk to him because he, you know, saw him pretty up close. So he describes his attacker as a 26 to 30 year old, 195 to 200 pound, 5'8" white male with short, light brown curly hair. So this is our first interaction with the Zodiac. Right after this, the Zodiac sends three letters to the Vallejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. Each newspaper receives the same letter with a different cipher. So he asked them to post the ciphers on the front page, not post, but to print the ciphers on the front page of the paper. Just kind of talks, you know, it's kind of like, hey, what's up? It's me, the Zodiac. Nice to meet you. And so a couple in Salinas actually cracks this cryptogram.
Only 2 days later, too.
Right. So they pretty quick turnaround, which is cool.
I think it was Donald and Betsia Harding.
Yes. So the cipher, when it's fully, you know, cracked, says, "I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It's even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and when those I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you will try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife." And then the final 18 letters still haven't been cracked. It's just a jumble. But, so this is the very first time everyone's like, oh, this probably isn't good. You know, it's probably not just like some random killing of two kids. It's like, no, this is like probably something kind of bad.
This letter would indicate that this person does not intend to stop.
Sure. So our next attack, so far we have two victims, one survives, one dies. So the next one is the one at Lake Berryessa, like we were talking about, pretty close to Davis, which is, again, yeah, disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
So these two people, so it's Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd. They're both Pacific Union College students. They were just having a picnic at Lake Berryessa. They're just kind of, you know, spending an afternoon together. One of them just kind of looks around, like sees someone kind of watching them a little bit. And they're like, hey, who is this guy? Like, what's up with this? This guy who Brian Hartnell later describes as about 5 feet 11 inches, weighing more than 170 pounds, with combed greasy brown hair, starts walking up to them with a black executioner-style hood over his face with clip-on sunglasses and this, like, bib-looking thing with the, you know, very recognizable Zodiac symbol on it. He approached them, had some kind of story about being, like, he escaped from this jail in Montana. He's like, I'm escaping to Mexico. Can you give me, you know, your car and your wallet, whatever?
Politely, give me all your things.
A polite robbery, if you will. He had Cecilia Shepherd tie up Brian. He then tied her up. And then he actually, like, approached them with a gun, but then he stabbed them instead. So he pulls out a knife, stabs them both. Brian gets stabbed 6 times. Cecilia is stabbed 10 times. And so Brian, again, survives. And that's why we have, you know, kind of the details of what the guy looks like. Cecilia actually survives for 2 more days in the hospital. She kind of falls into a coma once they get to the hospital and then just doesn't wake up after that. But so she was kind of awake enough to give some kind of a description. And obviously Brian Hartnell was as well.
Right.
Go ahead.
One of the really interesting things about that attack is that the Zodiac Killer inadvertently saves Brian's life by, as soon as he leaves, he goes and tells the police that he has just committed the stabbing and tells them exactly where it is, which is why the police get to them so quickly and finds them when they're both alive.
Right.
Which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. Like, Cecilia Shepherd at that point was totally conscious, gave them a detailed description of what he looked like. And then obviously Brian Hartnell did too. You know, he was questioned a bunch of times by the police and he was just kind of like, here's everything I know, you know. But so now we are up to 4 casualties, 2 deaths. I realized I never said when that was. So it was September, late September 1969. And then only a couple weeks later is our last confirmed Zodiac killing, on October 11th, 1969, actually in San Francisco now. So our last confirmed victim is Paul Stein. He's a cab driver in San Francisco. So a white male passenger gets in his cab. He requests to be taken to Washington and Maple Street. He drives another block to Cherry for some reason. So it's Washington and Cherry is that kind of quintessential block, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of people know about it for some reason. So once he actually got there, the passenger shot Paul Stein in the head, took his wallet and car keys, and actually cut out a section of Paul Stein's bloodstained shirt, which he actually sends like strips of that to Paul Avery at the San Francisco Chronicle, who's one of the more involved journalists in the Zodiac killings. So the interesting thing is, too, is a couple of teenagers actually saw the Zodiac wiping down the cab and like cleaning up after himself. So they called the police and were like, hey, this guy definitely just shot someone. Like, you need to come and figure this out. So as a, of course, it's, you know, late 60s America.
SFPD.
A couple of officers responded to the call. They, for some reason, the police radio dispatcher told officers to be on the lookout for a black male instead of a white male. Because, you know, late 60s America. Yikes.
I was going to point out earlier that when the Zodiac sent him a letter with Zodiac 37 SFPD 0, definitely not true.
Well, okay.
In a wider sense. Anyway.
The funny thing is, too, is that he actually mentions in a letter after the Stein murder, he's like, oh, I saw those two police officers and they saw me and they did nothing. And I'm like, I think you earn rights to brag about that, to be honest with you. But anyway, so these two officers, like I said, actually do see the Zodiac, but they think they're looking for a black man instead. Ugh. So the two officers estimate the white male pedestrian to be 35 to 45 years old, 5'10", with crew cut hair, somewhat similar but slightly older than the description of the teenagers, because those three teenagers that saw him described the man as a 25 to 30 year old with a crew cut, white male about 5'8 to 5'9". So this is actually the murder where we get that really iconic, like, this is the Zodiac killer, like, police sketch.
Mm.
Even though a lot of the, well, the suspects that survived were kind of like, that's not really what he looked like, but okay.
Sure.
Which I think is interesting, you know. But a lot of people actually thought that this was just a murder, you know. It was like, oh, just, you know, just someone shot a cab driver. You know,
it was a robbery gone wrong.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A robbery that escalated kind of thing. So like, oh, it's a robbery that went too far. Mm-hmm. You know, things went sideways, whatever. But then, like I said, the San Francisco Chronicle receives a letter containing a piece of his bloody shirt. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was me. Don't worry about it. I did that.
Yeah.
So all of these things, obviously, kind of freak everybody out in the, you know, Bay Area up to almost here.
Right.
It's a very scary thing, you know.
It is.
It's the late 60s. Things are kind of weird, you know.
The Zodiac killer is someone who is engaging with the public.
Right.
Obviously can travel back and forth, is capable of changing his MO, doesn't carry out a particular pattern of attacks or a particular type of attack. He just does.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is he obviously, like, in some way craves this attention, where he's sending all these letters to papers and being like, hey, publish this. Mm. This will be great press for you.
Right.
And I think it's sort of interesting how it's, this guy is such, like, a shadowy figure. Mm. And then he's like, oh, but here's, like, a bunch of information about me. And like, hey.
Yeah.
Here's my grand plan to blow up a school bus so that I can shoot kids as they come out. You know, it's just like a lot.
And the third cipher he sends, I don't remember exactly which letter it accompanies, he opens it up with, have you figured out my last cipher yet? Well, anyway, my name is, and then 13 symbols, that's Z13.
Yeah.
And that's something that no one's ever been able to figure out, if indeed he did write his real name in that cipher, which it's very possible he didn't.
Yeah. It just says, this is the Zodiac speaking. By the way, have you cracked the last cipher I sent you? My name is. And then there's just 13 characters, and that's the very famous Z13 cipher. Mm. So no one's ever cracked it. No one knows what the guy's name is, obviously. Otherwise, we probably would have arrested someone by now.
Right.
So, those are the very shortened stories of the Zodiac Killer's five victims.
So, that is the most concentrated Reign of Terror, really. That is when the Zodiac Killer is more active. Later on, the Zodiac Killer will send a few more letters to the Chronicle. Of course, there are a lot of fakes in between, but there are a couple letters which people are fairly certain are from the Zodiac Killer, mostly critiques of movies, the movie Badland, a positive review of The Exorcist. Now, these are controversial because some handwriting analysts believe that they do match earlier letters, others believe they don't, so it's a point of some contention. So I believe the last confirmed Zodiac letter that people are absolutely certain about is the one where he threatens to shoot a school bus.
Or, yeah.
So that is the kind of quintessential moment when people are aware of the Zodiac Killer. Of course, there are other killings which were attributed to him before and after, but they don't have the same proof of evidence that these five victims did.
Right.
Yeah. So, of course, people had a lot of beliefs about who the Zodiac Killer might be. Over the course of their investigation, the SFPD investigated over 2,500 suspects. People were coming in almost every day with tips. People were saying their neighbors, their friends, their fathers, good family loyalty, were the Zodiac Killer.
A lot of fathers. A lot of people like, yo, my dude, like, my dad is definitely the Zodiac Killer.
There are two people who wrote books on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like Steve Hodel and his dad. He's like, I think my dad definitely killed the Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. Is your family dynamic okay?
So,
oh my God.
There are favorites among those who have been suspected. Probably the most well-known is Arthur Lee Allen.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the film Zodiac from 2007, you probably have fairly strong beliefs that Arthur Lee Allen was, in fact, the Zodiac Killer.
Yes.
It should be said that other people who studied this case have pointed out that David Fincher and Robert Graysmith have at times somewhat overstated the case, although in the movie it does say that police were planning to arrest Arthur Lee Allen. That's actually not true. At the time, the police had actually cleared him because they didn't believe that there was enough evidence other than circumstantial evidence to point out, to come to the conclusion that Lee was the Zodiac Killer. But there is quite strong evidence in certain ways. For example, Lee had probably the most questionable thing is that Lee did have a watch. Which was called, the model was the Zodiac, which had the little Zodiac symbol on it. Said Zodiac.
Crosshairs, kind
crosshairs.
Of.
Yeah, exactly. He had lived in a mobile home. He was somewhat mobile. Over the course of his life, Arthur Lee was fired from being a teacher because he was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Second time from a second job. I forget what that was. I hope it wasn't actually dealing with kids. But he was fired at least twice for being a pedophile, was convicted at least once.
Mm-hmm. He went to jail for, I think, about 4 years.
Okay.
Which is nowhere near long enough for being a child molester.
Yeah, twice over even. Maybe it was the first time.
He deserves to just rot in jail.
Yeah.
Child molesters are gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, initially, Lee was brought to the attention of the police by an ex-friend of his who described Arthur as coming to him and expressing his wishes to carry out the exact murders that the Zodiac Killer would later carry out. And following this, police would later on go to investigate Arthur Lee. He became a favorite subject of some of them. And as the earlier point, he did have that watch. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. He did live near Darlene, who is the third Zodiac victim, or third or fourth, depending on how you want to order it. Additionally, as Robert Graysmith points out, the Zodiac Killer does stop writing letters to the Chronicle and the SFPD around the time that Lee was sent to prison for child molestation. And the letters from the Zodiac Killer only resume once he's left prison.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Arthur Lee Allen is that there's a lot of very clear-cut evidence that says it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his handwriting doesn't match up. any of the DNA that they find at Zodiac crime scenes doesn't match up with his.
The fingerprints don't match from the Stein murder. The handprint from one of the letters doesn't match.
There's like a palm print on like his third letter or something like that. Doesn't match Arthur Lee Allen. Yeah. But there's so much circumstantial evidence that makes it very believable to a lot of people.
Yeah. And this all happened while Lee was still alive. In his later years, Lee was the subject of an intense amount of media scrutiny, especially after Robert Graysmith released his book, Zodiac, which, although it did use code names, was not very, did not do that much to disguise the identities of the people in that book, despite using altered names. Mm-hmm. And it was quickly figured out that Graysmith meant Lee. So Lee was the subject of a great amount of attention, media attention. There's interviews of Lee. One Katie and I were watching earlier, the reporter is sitting down with him in his house, and she just looks at him and says, "So are you the Zodiac killer?" which he says, you know, "That's the farthest thing from my mind," which is a weird answer, but okay.
That's the problem. He doesn't say no. could just be like, "No, yeah. I didn't do that." He's like, "No, that's the furthest thing from my mind. And I could never be the Zodiac killer. I wouldn't do that." I'm like, just say no, my dude.
Yeah. I gotta say, in the movie, they gave him a much better answer when talking to the police, which is, "No, I'm not the Zodiac killer. And if I was, I wouldn't tell you."
Yeah, I think that makes a lot more sense.
But that's obviously an answer from a much more defiant man at this point. Lee was obviously under a great deal of stress from the amount of attention. In fact, he would die only a year after that interview due to heart complications.
Yeah.
So, Lee, maybe, maybe not. There's a great deal of circumstantial evidence, but there's also a great deal of physical evidence which seems to exculpate him.
Yeah.
Of course, there are other people who are accused to lesser degrees. Earl Van Best Jr., Richard Marshall was a favorite of many people due to his association with movies and writing posters, which had very similar, having handwriting very similar to the Zodiac. If you watch the Zodiac movie, there's a scene where the Drake Gyllenhaal playing Robert Graysmith goes and talks to a close friend of Rich Marshall's and comes to the conclusion that maybe it's not him, because the guy's like, "Actually, I did those posters." And then they go down to the basement. It's kind of creepy. He hears footsteps upstairs. He's like, "Is there someone else here?"
That was a very strange scene in that movie.
That was. Apparently, it actually did happen to Graysmith. That was an accurate recreation of what happened. He went there. Huh. The guy said, "Yeah, no, that's my handwriting." He heard someone else in the house. The guy kept denying that anyone else was there while they're in the basement. And then he got out of there.
Whack.
Yeah. So there have been some people who theorize that perhaps Rick Marshall was the Zodiac killer, or even Rick Marshall was working with this particular person whose name I have unfortunately not written down. But yeah, could have been them, because they do have closer physical evidence to what is had, but they were not investigated to the same degree, so it's not quite known whether or not they would match the profile. And I think we're kind of cutting it close here on time, so I think we'll come to an end. But if you're interested in what we've been talking about, history.com has a great series of articles on the Zodiac Killer. There's zodiackiller.com, zodiackillerfacts.com, a great deal of intensive amounts of research that's been put in online by reporters and amateurs, and there's so much more. And you really have to dive into it yourself.
So much.
Yeah. There's a great deal to cover. It's one of the greatest mysteries of our century for a reason.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. So, with all that being said, it's unfortunately almost 5, so it's about time to bring this show to a close. For now, I'm Cameron LaLana.
I'm Katie Morgan, and you've been listening to The Conspiracy Comrades. Our outro music is LBJ Did JFK's Murder by Just Nick. You'll hear us again next week for the very last time this summer.
I'm sad. This has been a wild ride.
I'm sad, too.
Yeah. Our last show. It's with a heavy heart that we inform you all that we must return to our home planet. Our business here is almost finished.
We only have one last task, the thing that we've been looking forward to and planning this whole summer, the assassination of John F. Kennedy by Lee Harvey Oswald. You can't see it, but Cameron was doing air quotes around every other word in that sentence.
You may not be able to trust the Warren Commission, but you can trust us, two nerds in a basement. We'll be back for the final time next week. And remember,
Ted Cruz may not have actually committed the Zodiac killings, but we still don't think that should rule him out as a suspect. Have a good evening, everyone.
Bye.
The following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. Good afternoon, listeners. We have a very special show today. My name is Francisco Dominguez. This is Radio Informar. I want to thank you for tuning in on this afternoon. Our guest today is Dr. Jenny Luna. She's going to be talking about her upcoming book, The History of Aztec Dance in California. We're also going to be talking about the Third World Liberation Front and the proposed ethnic studies curriculum for the K through 12 in the California public schools. So we're going to play some music to start off. I got some more war tune queued up here. And it's a song about summer. You know, we have about a week left in summer, so, and it's heating up as I speak. So go out and enjoy our beautiful summertime. Enjoy the sun. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you for tuning in. KDVS 90.3 FM. All right, so I'm playing the music, and we'll come on in about 3 minutes. Let me go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you fine. Just speak. Project your voice. Okay. So let me turn this on, and then. Okay, are you still there? Okay. If something goes wrong, just call me right back. Because I can't call out on this phone.
Summer. Summertime is here. Yes, it's summer. My time.